From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Cadet. This is Idaho Matters. The United States is seeing a surge of respiratory viruses, which include COVID-19 and the flu. And health experts are warning this could lead to a rise in cardiovascular complications. Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, is joining us today to talk more about this and to answer your public health questions. So remember, if you do have a question, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
So let's just start with the numbers today. According to the CDC, the weekly COVID hospitalizations are currently sitting at almost 33,000. That's for the week ending January 13th, because those are the numbers, the latest numbers we have. So that number's actually lower than the week prior, but it's basically the same as it was this time last year. And then hospitalizations for the flu for the exact same week is sitting at almost 15,000, lower than the week prior, but Dr. Pate, still similar to what we were seeing around this time last year. I'm in a text group, and one person in this text group just told us that she has COVID. I mean, it seems like everyone we know is getting this, and now we have health officials warning about possible cardiovascular problems. So can we talk about this this potential issue?
Yes. Well, Gemma, you know, for at least the past 3 years, you and I have been talking about, obviously, of greatest concern is when people get COVID, get severely ill, end up in the hospital, and some of those people die. That was the immediate concern. But afterwards, you and I have had many conversations on this show that people should still not be complacent about COVID because there are long-term effects. Probably the condition that most people have heard about is long COVID. And we are seeing significant problems from those unfortunate people that develop long COVID. And we talked about the fact that we can't adequately predict ahead of time who's going to get it, who's not going to get it, and that research has time and time again proven that the more infections you get, and therefore reinfections, the higher your risk for long COVID. But what you're bringing up, because I've referred to it as long-term effects rather than just long COVID, because there's other things that happen that aren't typically considered long COVID. And you've just brought one up. We found out a couple years ago that after COVID, your risk for heart attacks, strokes, blood clots to the lungs, certain arrhythmias, irregularities of the heart, et cetera, those are all increased for at least a period of a year. And now, this warning that you're referring to from scientists, we are starting to hear from some European countries that have identified that they are having a higher percentage of cardiac events in this current year than they have had before, which presumably would have some connection to all these cases of COVID. And because we've already shown in studies that your risk definitely increases after COVID. And so it is a concern. And that's why I urge people after COVID, do not treat new symptoms the same way you might have in the past. If you're having what seems to be palpitations, fluttering of your heart, irregularities, dizziness, lightheadedness, things that you didn't experience before, don't blow those off. Go to the doctor. If you're having problems with shortness of breath, don't blow that off. Go to the doctor. If you're having chest pain, you especially need to take that seriously and get to a doctor or an emergency room right away for evaluation.
I also want to talk about children and COVID. Dr. Pate, you recently wrote about this in one of your blog posts stating that you think people aren't taking this virus seriously enough when it comes to kids. And I have to tell you, I know so many people whose children have been infected over and over and over again. And I mean, to my knowledge, at least, knock on wood, my kids haven't gotten it. Now, granted, I have kept up on their vaccines, you know, all of that. But why is there such a concern when it comes to children and COVID that you have?
Yeah, I, you know, my concern is that there's just a lot we don't know. And it takes oftentimes decades for us to know. Now, for someone like me, that may not be such a big deal because my life expectancy wouldn't be more than decades. But these young ones were very concerned. And even though with initial infections, it certainly compared to older adults, certainly children appear less likely to get severely ill, less likely to get hospitalized, and less likely to die. And I think that gave everybody a false reassurance because what we don't know is what's happening to kids that, like you just said, are getting multiple reinfections. Maybe they're fine with the first, but you know, you get young kids whose brains aren't fully developed, and we know that this virus infects brains and can cause some neurological issues. We also have now seen that in newborns that get infected, we can measure damage to the heart. Now, they seem to recover in a year, but we don't know the long-term consequences of that. And then the other thing that's concerning is we are finding more and more evidence of what we call viral persistence. That is that the virus doesn't get cleared from the body in some people. In fact, now we have found in some people that we can detect it in their gut for 3 months or more. And we're now finding signals that we knew about a year ago or so that if you do a tonsillectomy and you take out the tonsils from a kid that had COVID, we can find the virus in there and lymph nodes and certain other things. Wow. So I'm not trying to sound an alarm. I'm trying to just make the case. I don't know whether all of this is innocent and whether all of this resolves with time or whether it causes problems for the future. And therefore, I think we need to protect children, not putting them in bubbles, not keep them home from everything. But I really don't understand why schools won't take measures to treat the air and make it less likely for this virus to be circulating in schools, because we just don't know the long-term implications for kids yet.
So I want to switch gears for a minute and talk about some positive news, some good news. This has to deal with the HPV vaccine, Dr. Pate. So this was something that was not available when I was growing up, but is available for kids now. So quickly, tell us what this vaccine is if people aren't aware, but there's some really positive news coming out of this.
Oh, this is thrilling. So like you said, this vaccine was not available when you were younger. In fact, in my practice, I used to have to do pap smears on women regularly to look for cervical cancer. And unfortunately, we saw a lot of cervical cancer. Then we discovered that there are some viruses that are what we call oncogenic. They can cause cancer in some individuals. And what the evidence started mounting is that a lot of these women that had cervical cancer of their uterus, that there was human papilloma virus there. And that is something that is sexually transmitted. And so what we did is we came up with this bivalent vaccine, means it treats against two different strains. And we started vaccinating boys and girls before they got to the age of typically engaging in sex, so preteen. And what happened in this European country is they now have looked at these women who got vaccinated 20 years ago or so, and we're looking to see what happened with cervical cancer. And the amazing thing is, in the ones that got the vaccine, even just one dose, not a single case of invasive cervical cancer. And if the girls got two or three doses, then that even lowered their risk further for cervical cancer that wasn't invasive. So this is a tremendous, what looks like a tremendous success. Obviously, we'll be following more women for longer periods of time. But right now, this is a huge breakthrough because cervical cancer in the days when I was in practice was not uncommon, and it could be a very serious issue for women, especially during their pregnancy. And now we have a way to prevent it.
That is really incredible. Let's get to some listener questions. Really amazing. Let's get to some listener questions right now in our last few minutes, Dr. Pate. Got quite a few of them this week. Noel from Star sent us two questions. His first one, he said, my wife and I checked with our healthcare services for RSV vaccinations. We were both told we don't do those. So how important are RSV shots? And if important, where do we get them? We're in our early 80s. We're up to date on our COVID, flu, and pneumonia vaccinations.
Well, that's great for them. I'm glad that they've gotten the pneumonia vaccine, the COVID boosters. So RSV is a real issue, and it hospitalizes people over 60. You know, we'll have over 10,000 people hospitalized each year with RSV. Now, the greatest risk for those that are over 60 are when you're, if you're around little kiddos. So if you volunteer in the nursery or with young kids at church, if you are a daycare provider, if you have grandkids that you see a lot, those are all people that you're going to be risk of getting RSV from them. And so it is very important, and it's a pretty effective vaccine. And the good thing is this vaccine, for those of us over 60, which I got, is looks like it's going to last for two seasons. Now, we have just hit, as I mentioned in the first segment, we just hit our peak of RSV. It appears to be on the way down. If you're going to be around little kids, I'd go ahead and get the vaccine right now. A lot of doctor's offices don't have it, but you can find it at drugstores. I don't remember if I got mine at CVS or Rite Aid, but I got mine some time ago. And if you do, then you don't have to get another one next season. If you're not going to be around little kids because we're past the holidays and all, then I just wait closer to the next season, which will be next fall, and then I would go ahead and get it, and you'll have protection for a couple of years.
So Noel has another question, and he asks, if a person has long COVID, does that person test positive on COVID tests in the future?
Not in the way that I suspect he means, in other words, how we routinely test, but this goes back to that point I was talking about earlier about viral persistence, where the virus doesn't get cleared from the body. We have been finding that occurs in a lot of folks with long COVID, and it may be a mechanism. And that's why we've now got trials going. One trial is just to vaccinate people. And it looks like maybe about 20% of people will get better just with getting the COVID vaccine, even after they've got long COVID. The other trials that I'm really anxiously following are giving an extended course of Paxlovid to see if we can clear the virus. So no, they won't typically test positive when you do the little swab up the nose, but mm-hmm. we often can find virus in other places. So it is a concern, should get followed up by the physician to make sure. We're doing a lot of research in these areas. If that long COVID person hasn't gotten the latest updated booster, probably is a good idea. Check with their doctor, and then we'll follow these data.
Dr. Pate, I have about 2 minutes left, so I want to get to one more question from Martha, because she wrote, I received the new COVID booster in September. I've received all previous vaccines. Now that we've seen a surge of infections, should I get another booster right now, or at what point should I get another vaccine? And she says she's over the age of 65.
Yeah, well, good for her for getting that latest booster. And people that think they are protected from earlier boosters, like over a year ago, you're not. So get this latest booster if you haven't already. In her case, she's already gotten it. So we're waiting for the next advice. Canada just approved a second dose of this same booster for Canadians that are over 60, I think it was 60, to get in the spring. That is what I'm hoping the FDA committee on vaccines is going to meet before too long will recommend. I do think that those of us that are over 60, we're going to need one more booster of this current one. Now with the change in the new variants, which really are displacing the old XBB variants that we talked about all last year, in which this latest booster is on, this JN1 that you and I talked about last week, it's become so predominant, and now we're seeing further mutations of that. I think they're going to recommend a new booster for next year based off of this one. And so for her right now, there's nothing more that she can do in terms of vaccines. Just wait and follow the show because we'll talk about it. But I'm hoping for a spring booster for those of us that are older. And then, of course, my guess is we'll have a new formulation of vaccine for next fall.
Well, Dr. Pate, as always, we so appreciate your expertise. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed, because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.